Good morning. It is wonderful on this cool but beautiful day to be able to gather and worship the Lord. We are glad to be back with you here at Seven Oaks. We also want to mention that we have a couple important things. First of all, this afternoon we have the Easter egg hunt. This year coming on the Sunday before Easter, and so it's going to be at 4:30. Invite other families to come out and be with us and stay for our evening worship. And it'd be a great opportunity for people to come and be exposed to our church family here. The next thing we have is next Sunday is Easter, and traditionally, of course, we have a large number. And I want to, the last few years, we've really been trying to emphasize having a large number on Easter. We've had around 350 a couple of years, and I think next Sunday would be a great opportunity once again for people who are thinking about going to church. And so give them an opportunity to come with you. Give them an opportunity to come with you. Invite them to come and be a part of the church family that you love and hear a message about Jesus. I'm going to be preaching about Jesus. It's a lesson entitled One Day, where we'll look at significant one-day events in his life and his death and his burial and resurrection and what that means for our life. Back when I asked people to submit sermon ideas back around the end of the year, first of the year, somebody had submitted this one on patience. And I figured I better go ahead and get to it because they were probably getting impatient on me preaching on it. It's been a little while, but you know, isn't that the truth? Isn't it hard to be patient? It's tough to be patient. We struggle with that. Whether it's waiting at the doctor's office, I mean that can drive us crazy sometimes. Or going to the to a restaurant and someone's going to bring us out food and we're hungry, we're ready, and we think, well, it's been 10 minutes. They should have it here by now. And then it gets to be 20 minutes, and pretty soon we're frustrated because we're paying all this money, and it's tough to be patient. And then it's tough to be patient with people that you work with. I mean, the things they say and the things they do, they just drive you crazy, and you struggle to be patient with them. And then maybe it's tough to be patient with people that we even live with. Wives out there thinking, yeah, you ought to live with the husband I live with. It's tough to be patient with him. So patience is tough. When we think about patience, we are admonished. And our text is going to be that Eli read for us, James chapter 5. So look back to James. And we're studying James on Sunday evening. And this is a passage that we're looking at today on James chapter 5. And patience can be defined as the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. The ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. The Bible says a lot about patience. In chapter 5 here of James, the brethren are admonished to be patient. In verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Now, when you study out this text and you look at the meaning of the text, it's really kind of belittling the overall emphasis of the passage to try to make it out, as we often do, about being patient at the doctor's office or patient at waiting for food or patient for those kind of things. Because what the brethren here are dealing with is much harsher. It's much more severe. They're dealing with persecution. They're dealing with being defrauded by the rich brethren, by being thrown into court in their name of Christian being blasphemed. Chapter 2 and Chapter 4 and 5 talk about that idea of the persecution they're undergoing. And what the idea that they're struggling with is they're waiting on the coming of the Lord. You see, it's been several years now, a couple decades or more, since Christ had ascended into heaven. And so they're thinking, we're waiting on Jesus to come. They know he's going to come back. They know that when he comes back, he's going to make all the wrongs right in his return. And that he's going to bring vengeance and punish those who do evil, and he's going to take the righteous to live with him forever in heaven. And they'll be acquitted. They'll receive vengeance upon their enemies. And they're waiting, and see, they're struggling to be patient until the coming of the Lord. They're wanting him to come quickly. In verse number 8, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It is going to be near. It is going to be soon. The apostles had that understanding that we should always be living with the understanding that his coming is going to be soon and near. That we need to be prepared always for his coming. And so the writer tells them to be patient while you're enduring your hardships, while people are gossiping about you, while they're dragging you in the courts and blaspheming the noble name by which you're called, while they are persecuting you, you be patient until the coming of the Lord. You know, the Bible is filled with admonitions for us to be patient. In Psalm 37, verse 7, let me read a few of these verses. It says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Waiting on the Lord is a big part of Scripture. It's a big emphasis of Scripture. We're going to look at some examples of that later. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Romans chapter 12, verse 12, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in trials or tribulation." 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, when he's describing love, he says, "Love is patient." Love is patient. In Galatians 5, 22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Many Bible characters also got in trouble because they did not have patience. These are some famous stories here. Remember Abraham? He got in trouble because he could not patiently wait on the promised son. He goes into Hagar, produces Ishmael, because he could not wait patiently. And even to this day, there's enmity between the Jewish and the Arab people. I mean, all that stems in that relationship because Abraham did not have patience. When you think about Moses, Moses got impatient because of the persecution of his people. He got upset when he saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew. And what did he do? He took that out, his anger out, and he killed that Egyptian taskmaster, and he had to flee. He got impatient. You think about Saul in a famous story. He got impatient waiting on Samuel, the priest, to come. And he was wanting Samuel to offer a sacrifice for the blessing of his people. They were ready to go to war, ready to go to battle. And Samuel delayed in coming. Saul got impatient and he offered the sacrifice himself, which he was not authorized to do. And God took away his crown because of patience. When you think about some examples from the New Testament, Mary and Martha. Martha becomes impatient in Luke chapter 10, 40 through 42, because her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was serving, and she wants Mary to be serving too. So she goes and tries to get Jesus to tell Mary to serve. She was impatient. And James and John, maybe they take the cake on some people who got some of the most impatient. They were traveling through Samaria, and the Samaritans, because of their animosity toward the Jews, would not give them a place to stay when they went through Samaria. And so James and John were upset that they were rejecting them. And what did they say? Jesus, let us call down fire from heaven and destroy these Samaritans. And that's impatience. You're not praying at the restaurant, are you? Lord, please bring fire down on this restaurant. They will just not bring our food. That's what James and John, they were upset. They said, bring fire down. They were referencing back to Elijah. They were impatient. They were upset with the Samaritans. The Lord rebuked them. The Lord just continued on his trip to Jerusalem. There's many Bible characters who failed to have patience. When you think about our world, there's some reasons why we struggle with patience. I want to give you three reasons why people struggle with patience. And there could be more, but you know, a driver may get impatient and take an unnecessary risk, or someone may get impatient so they steal something instead of working hard and earning it. Here's some reasons why people do that. Number one, it might be because of a spoiled childhood. I mean, some people grow up and they just have everything they ever want. Whenever they wanted something, their parents got it for them. And if their parents didn't get it for them right, their grandparents got it for them, right? They had everything they wanted. And so every time they cried for something, they desired something, they got what they wanted. And so they weren't taught to be patient or to wait on getting what you want. And so because of a spoiled childhood, some get accustomed to having what they want. They never experience unfulfilled desires. Another reason why people struggle with patience It's our hectic lifestyle. There's missionaries who come over from other places, and they'll talk about how Americans try to cram in everything into our day. And we live such a hectic, crazy lifestyle. You know, we have all these instant things. We have drive-thrus so we can pick up our food really fast. We have microwaves. We have instant oatmeal, instant coffee, and all these instant things to try to make things quicker and easier and faster. And so whenever something doesn't go quick, we become impatient. Our hectic lifestyle. There was something that was really kind of humorous. It said, "This is the age of the half-read page, of the quick hash, the mad dash, the bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop with the brief stop, the lamp tan in a short span, a big shot in a good spot, the brain strain, the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps and the fun's done." Talking about our fast age. Now, when do you think that was written? That was written in 1949. Today, we are a headline culture, right? We're a Twitter age. If you can't send it in 140 characters, nobody's going to read it. You got to have it quick and fast so that people can check it out and then move on to something else. We have it scrolling across the bottom, scrolling across the top. We've got something in the middle that we hardly ever watch. You know, you think about it. Americans' Christian prayer is, "Lord, grant me the patience, but I want it right now." A third reason why we struggle with patience is our temperament. Some people are just slow and relaxed and calm, but other people are not. And other people are not. When you think about other people, some people are like this hyperactive child. This is I hope you don't relate to this story too well, but one mother had a little girl who was driving her crazy. And this little girl was hyperactive. I mean, she was just bouncing off the walls, just excited all the time, talking all the time. So her mom just had enough. And so she put her in a closet and she said, just stay there and be quiet and learn to wait. She expected to hear crying and beating and loud noise. And 3 or 4 minutes went by and she didn't hear anything. So she opened up the door and she was standing there all puckered up. And she said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I spit on your shoes. I spit on your clothes, and I'm just standing here waiting on some more spit." You know, it can be tough if you're a hyperactive person to learn to wait. In fact, it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous to have to wait when you're a hyperactive person. It's hard to do. And we get upset at others, we get mad at others. And so some reasons why we struggle with patience can be all these things. And so here's what we got to do, back to James chapter 5. Is we've got to realize that patience is not something we just get. You don't go down to the grocery store and buy it. And you don't just pray one prayer and have it. You don't just get patience through one sermon. But you get patience over your lifetime by working on it. All right? It's something we work on. And James says there's some evidences of patience in our life that we should be demonstrating. And the first evidence, he says, is that we should have a stubborn faith. Look at verse 8. He says, "You also must be patient. Establish your hearts." Establish your hearts. Patience keeps believing when there are delays and disappointments. What he says is, you need to make sure you know what you believe. And you have an established heart, a stubborn faith, that you're not going to move away from what you believe. And what he's saying here is they are struggling with patience to wait on the coming of Jesus because they're starting to get upset and angry and mad and wanting vengeance. Remember, the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And he's telling them, you've got to be patient. You've got to have a stubborn faith. You've got to establish your heart. Kind of referenced in 2 Peter chapter 3 as well, there were scoffers who were saying, "The Lord is delayed in his coming. He's not going to come." And Peter, James is saying, hey, you don't doubt it. You establish your heart. You do not allow the disappointments, the discouraging things of this day to drive you away from faith. Establish your heart. We need a stubborn faith. You know, we're going to experience hard times in this life. Many times we're going to be tempted to quit coming to church, to quit praying. Being patient means you're stubborn. That despite, as Job said, despite the difficulties, though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust in him. Despite the hardships, you keep the faith. You keep true to your heart of following the Lord. And so we have a stubborn faith. Verse 9 says, we have a tolerant spirit. Because verse 9 says, you also be patient. Or excuse me, verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. The second thing that ought to be evidenced in our life, not only should we have a stubborn faith if we've got patience, but we should have a tolerant spirit. A tolerant spirit. What James says is we don't need to grumble. It's one of the things that is so difficult about patience is having patience with other people. You know, be patient. That love. Love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. That's tough because he's talking about bearing in that same context, bearing with one another. Love bears all things. Patience ought to be evidenced by having a tolerant spirit. I'm not talking about tolerance in terms of doctrine and things like that. I'm talking about tolerance in terms of our love for others. We need to be bearing with one another. We need to be forgiving one another. We need to be loving one another. So a tolerant spirit understands that many times our arguments are not necessary. We need to quit blaming each other. We certainly need to control our disputes and have more patience. Allow one another to have differences, but to love one another. And allow people to have their personality. Sometimes we won't, you know, we say, well, that person just talks too much. They this or that. Well, let's not throw them out and let's not be rude to them and crude to them and give a patience upon them just because we don't like a personality trait about them. Let's be patient. Let's not grumble about them. Be patient. And then in verse number 12, he says this. He says, not only, you know, if we're going to have patience, we've got to, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is a hard one. Because where our lack of patience is manifest many times is in our tongue. It's in our tongue. And I think this swearing here involves two things. I think it involves foul language or speech that is corruptible, that's ugly and foul and sinful in its words. You know those four-letter words. Things that we should not be saying. But I think it also involves swearing in terms of, like Jesus was saying, making oaths and swearing, as he says here, by heaven or by earth or by any other thing, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. He's talking about honesty. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Swearing is the frustrated attempt of a feeble mind to express himself. Think about that. Swearing is the frustrated attempt of a feeble mind to express himself. Is there any benefit to swearing? You know, for example, you may use that kind of swearing language to motivate someone to do something. And, you know, you get all upset and you get mad and you do that and you use those words and they change, but do they really change for the right reasons? And did you get them to do that for the right reasons? And is it going to have any long-term effects? Or are they just doing what you asked them to do because you got mad and you said some really mean words? Is that the kind of example you want to give off for Jesus? Is that how Jesus would handle it? You see, when we think about swearing, we can think about even controlling our tongue. When for example, we're in traffic and someone cuts us off or someone drives in a way that makes us aggravated or mad. What good does it do for us to start swearing there in the car? See, those are patient virtues that we've got to work on. And that when we start loosening our tongue and we start saying things that we ought not into the air, it's really an evidence that we need more patience in our life to control our tongue. So James says, if you're going to be patient, you've got to have a controlled tongue. Now, he gives us some examples of this. He gives us the example of a farmer in verse number 7. Now, this is significant because in the Palestinian culture, where you were farming for your livelihood, and that is food to eat, they had two times where it would rain. He talks about this in the text. He talks about how they would wait upon the rain And he says, see how the farmer in verse 7 waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. The early rains they would have to wait on. And once they came, they would then plant their crops. And they would get them up. They'd have to keep the birds away. They'd have to keep the weeds out. But then they would have to wait on the latter rains. The early rains were in November, December, October time period, the fall, winter time of the month for us. And then they would have a drier period through December and January and February. And they would be waiting for those latter rains for the crop to survive and for the crop to be made to harvest. Oftentimes their children got hungry. They were waiting on those rains. They were getting hungry. The grain sacks were getting depleted. He says, be patient, like that farmer who has to depend upon the rains to come. Patience. You can't change it today. You've got to wait and trust in the rain. And then he tells us about the prophets, verse 10. The prophets of old. Now the prophets are primarily known for patience through suffering. When you think about the prophets, you got men like Amos who were commanded not to preach, Elijah who was chased by Jezebel and tried to be killed. You got Jeremiah who was thrown into a cistern and imprisoned. You've got other prophets who suffered greatly. Isaiah, who as history tells us was sawn asunder. You've got all kinds of prophets who went through all kinds of things in trials and tribulations. And the prophets are primarily known for continuing to preach and be faithful despite the hardships. I mean, they suffered, the prophets did. And the prophets were looked upon as the radicals of their day. They were often preaching a message nobody wanted to hear. They were the oddballs. And they often suffered because of it. He says, look at the prophets. They were faithful. They suffered despite the hardships. And then last he says, remember Job. Remember Job? He says about Job, consider Job as an example. He says, you've heard of the steadfastness, the endurance of Job. And you've seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Remember Job? Satan was allowed to take everything he had, took his 10 children, took all of his wealth. If we estimate Job's wealth, and in today's standard, the amount of livestock he had would be millions of dollars. It was all gone in a day. Even his family. His own wife turns her back on him and says, curse God and die. And what does Job do? Job stays faithful. Job clings to God. And Job is an example of steadfastness in the face of suffering. It's an example of patience. He doesn't curse God and die. He stays faithful. And here's what James says. Look at the purpose of the Lord, how he's an example for us, and how the Lord is going to bless him. The Lord is going to restore all that wealth back double. Gives him 10 more children. The Lord blesses him abundantly. As an example of patience, we see the farmer, the prophets, and Job. As we close, as we think about being patient more in our life, let me give you a few practical suggestions. And I know that patience is something that we all struggle with. And so here's some things maybe you can put in your life. Number one, expect delays. Expect that, you know, things are not going to go according to plan. I know that certainly does if you have 4 kids. Nothing goes according to plan, right? Last year we were building a house. You know, nothing hardly goes according to plan. There's always going to be challenges. We've seen that with our building project here. We had to be patient. Things don't usually go exactly as you think they're going to. And so expect that there's going to be some challenges. Number two, try to leave early. You know, give yourself time so that you're not pressured and stressed. Number three, be creative with your waiting time. Now this is one today that we've got more blessings than previous generations ever had. Because we have phones. And we have tablets, and we've got books, and we've got things like that, magazines.
Be creative. You know, on your phone, have an audiobook. You got the Bible there. You can listen to or read. Always available. Be creative with it so that you can use that time wisely and use that time as a blessing so that you can get involved in doing whatever, you know, may even be a form of recreation, reading a book or something that you can use while you're waiting so you don't just get frustrated if you're having to just sit. And then number four, keep the big picture. This involves more of that bearing with other people. And that struggling with, as the prophets and others struggle with suffering. You know, the old expression is, don't sweat the small stuff. And number five, last, I would say, be still and know God. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible spoke about this concept, about how we can mount up with wings like eagles, those who wait, that we will run and not faint. God's going to give us strength. When you think about the Lord, you think about knowing God, does God ever appear impatient? He's patient, isn't he? In fact, 2 Peter 3, 8, 9 says he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. One of the only examples of where God appears impatient is where he runs to the prodigal son. And he's been patient in that story. He's been waiting on the prodigal to come home. But when he comes, he runs to him. He runs to him. In that story, the father is the waiting father. He's patient for him to come home. And then when he comes, he runs to him. This morning, I want you to think about your patience. And the last thing I want to suggest about it is, realize that your patience is a reflection of God. And that we're called to model God in the patience we show with others. And this morning, if you need to respond, I want you to know God has been patient with you. And He will run to you if you'll come. If you'll come back to Him. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, or if you need to be restored and rededicated, come as together we stand and sing.